Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. Day today is the 29th of November, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on again, off again, man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic. James.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. Hope everybody had a
happy late Thanksgiving. Yep, we actually, I was thinking about this the other day. We did not say an early happy Thanksgiving to all of our American-based listeners. So
yeah, we did.
We will do
at the
did
end.
We?
Yeah, at the end, I said happy Thanksgiving.
Huh? Maybe you did. Well, good on you for remembering to do that, because I did not remember to do that. Hope everybody had a safe and happy Thanksgiving if you did celebrate it. James, I'm happy because the Pistons road trip is finally done. Like 2 weeks on the road, and
yeah,
had some fun games in there, but a lot of losses.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, listen, I get it. There are a lot of people who don't champion moral victories, and I totally understand. But, I mean, to beat Denver and Utah on back-to-back nights, something they haven't done since 2003, shout out to our guy Keith Black on that. It was their first, well, they actually ended up losing to Phoenix, but
I was going to say.
Yeah, I had a stat, but it was if they beat Phoenix. So they get two wins there. They took Phoenix down to the wire, took Sacramento down to the wire, Lakers, Clippers, like all while missing a bunch of starters. Like this was I thought this was a turning point moment for the organization. I mean, or at least for this season. Like I think they're going to win more games than it maybe appeared the first few weeks. I still would have smashed the under on 29, or whatever it was, 28.5, 29.5, whatever it was. But like the tough part of their schedule is done. For those who are unaware, the Pistons and Spurs had played the most games up until Sunday night, which they played the Cavs, and we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit.
Those two had played the most games in the league at 21. The Pistons and Nuggets had the most road games at 13. And six back-to-backs through 20 games was 30% of their schedule. And they did most of this without their best player and then various starters and important bench players playing. So I understand why everybody is up in arms and all that, but I certainly think that like we're going to see the best of the Pistons starting now. I think you saw it. I mean, even dating back to what we saw in Denver and Utah, I think that's kind of like the turning point. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, I'm not saying they're going to get 30 wins. But I could see, like, I definitely think they're mid-20s. People forget, too, and I don't know. You know, the Pistons already have 5 wins. They didn't get their 6th win until the calendar turned last year. Like, they're on pace to be better than last year's team. I think they were 5-23 after New Year's Eve, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right. Yeah, that could be right.
They already have 5, and honestly, if we're being like, missed 12 free throws against the Cavs, Durant missed a dunk.
Yeah, which might be the story of the year is the free throw stuff.
Yeah,
would you agree with that?
It's up there. It's quietly is because they're, I think they're either first or top five in getting to the line.
Attempts,
and,
yeah,
and they're middle of the pack in finishing. So that hurts, especially when you're a team like that that's endured so many injuries and you're young. But, I mean, Alec Burks is a bucket. I wrote a piece today. Well, today's Monday, but if you're listening to this on Tuesday, you can go read it. Just a man with few words but many buckets. He's just changed them. And Marvin Bagley, you could tell he's starting to feel like himself. He was very good in that Cleveland game on both ends, I thought. I think breaking BNC news, I believe Isaiah Stewart will make his return today as you're listening to this on Tuesday against the Knicks.
Wow. Okay.
Sadiq Bey's back. Slowly, I think Ivy. I don't know if Ivy will play Tuesday, yep. But I don't think he's out long term. So I'm assuming he'll play some point this week. So I think we're gonna start seeing the best of the Pistons.
Cool.
That's just me. But yeah, that trip, man. That's a long time to be gone.
Well, you
and I only did 8 days. And they were gone for 12.
I don't remember who brought it up or how you said you came to this conclusion, but regurgitate the point that you had about the Paris thing and how you had to get a bunch of games out of the way, that whole thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is so when the Pistons go to Paris, they play the Knicks on the Sunday before they leave, but they don't play till that Thursday in Paris. So there's 4 days off between, Monday, Tuesday, 3 days off between, and then 3 days off after. So they have like 6 to 7, 8 days off in that kind of span. So so I'd imagine maybe the Bulls will end up being more backloaded than the Pistons, but the Pistons had to pay the price up front with that tough schedule and having so many games. So that's why if it feels like they've played every night or every other night, that's why they've had to make up for that gap of 8 games or 8 days where they'd probably played 4 games in that period. So that's a reason why it's crammed early on, but I think they're kind of out of the woods now. As they've gotten out of this ridiculous part of their schedule, they're also going to start getting a little bit healthier. Sans Cade. Sans means without, right?
Good uses of Sans. Yeah. I was thinking that as soon as you said it, I was like, ooh, nice. And then good job.
This last week and a half, 2 weeks, I was concerned about Detroit. Like, I didn't expect them to be good, but like the way they were getting their butts kicked almost every other night was concerning. But after this last week and a half, 2 weeks, I feel a lot better about the vision's still there. That's why you add veterans. I don't think they're going to trade Burks at the deadline. Bogey, I think you could probably get a lot for Bogey, so maybe that happens. But I just think that this team is ready to be better sooner rather than later.
I got a couple takes. One of them is about the trade deadline, so it would actually be a better segue. I've had an Alec Burks point in the chamber since you brought him up, so let me just get this out real quick. If you're going to be scoring 17, 18 a game, can I get him for more than 25 minutes, please? Let's get 30 minutes a game from Alec Burks.
Part of that's conditioning.
Sure. Oh, 100%.
Yeah, he's not there yet.
Okay. You think that could be a possibility, though?
I mean, in games where he's just cooking, yeah, but I also...
So every game?
I mean, yeah, and other guys are just, like, bad. Killian hasn't been bad in a little bit. Ivy's been out, so...
Kevin Knox has been great.
Kevin Knox has been good. He just had his first kind of blah day in a while on Sunday.
Yeah.
He's been good. That's what I think the depth is going to show. Of course, like the likes of Knox and Killian, we need to see more to believe it, but they're trending in the right direction.
Now, maybe we should have led with this.
I bought too many shoes out west, too, by the way.
Did you?
I just went a little too crazy.
Well, we can do that at the end of the show. You can tell us what you got. Sometimes the frustrating thing about recording on Monday is releasing on Tuesday. I swear to God, the Tuesday morning news dump is always significant, and you always get something that you think, man, I wish they would have covered that on the BNC, but we had no idea, right? Last Tuesday, and I think we do a good job on this show of guiding people in the right direction in terms of maybe what reports they should and shouldn't listen to, or what, you know, phrases or terminology to, you know, to look for. We've said on this show before that teams calling other teams about certain players isn't news, because teams do that all the time.
It's their job.
James, there was a report that came out a week ago
mm-hmm.
that the Pistons have fielded a few phone calls regarding Sadiq Bey. Now, I believe that they have. I believe they've taken a lot of calls. We've known that they have. We've known that the Celtics wanted him in, I think, his rookie year. talk to the people. Should they be concerned? Is this a real thing? What's going on?
I mean, what do you mean by concern? Like, if you love Sadiq Bey, do you have to worry about him being traded at the deadline?
Yeah.
I lean toward no. So listen, if I'm not mistaken, the report said the Pistons have received calls about Sadiq Bey. They've picked up the phone. And I believe the report went on to say the Pistons have not shown any interest in trading him, correct?
I don't know.
But that's what I think that's what the report said, right?
Surely. It might have. I don't read him, but it might have.
I think that's what I saw. So to me, and I one of the kind of the unspoken things in this field is like, if unless it's like something like catastrophic or of great news, you don't really kind of shit on somebody else's report.
Oh, gotcha.
To me, when I hear they have fielded calls, but they haven't shown interest in trading, I'm like, well, like, what's the news?
What's the news?
Yeah. And I think everybody just ran with their fielding calls, which is not them shopping Sadiq, which is not them the end of it said, and I don't even know.
He's not on the block. Part,
yeah. I mean, is there a time when Sadiq could get traded? Sure, it's possible. Like, he hasn't shot the ball well. He hasn't. But I think they believe in him, and there's no point in them doing so. Like, we all know, like, at the minimum, Sadiq's an NBA rotation player. They need those eventually. They need those now. Yeah. So I'm under the – like, I just saw people going crazy about it, kind of ignoring the last part of it where it kind of was like, well, then what's the point of this even coming out if they're not even entertaining it? So, I don't think Sadiq is traded at the deadline or anything. And I think a lot of this came from I don't think it's a coincidence that this stuff pops up when he was even though it only happened for one game, when he was put to the bench. So
yeah. Hey, what I was thinking about, we can move off of this. Yeah. You know what I was thinking about? Remember when Hamidou had the little temper tantrum or whatever the hell that was, like a year ago?
Yeah, in Cleveland.
Yeah. Just something that I totally forgot that happened. Was thinking about it the other day. James, we have a mailbag episode today.
Let's do
it. We haven't done this in 2 months. I think September 18th, I believe, was the last date that we did a mailbag. So it's been about a month and a half.
Yeah.
So we're going to field some questions. I do want to give a quick shout out. I should have done this a few weeks ago. Shout out to former Pistons social media extraordinaire Tina.
Shout out to Tina.
For reaching out to the BNC via email. Shout out to Tina.
Tina, your we favorite love Pist- you. We miss you.
We love Tina. Your favorite Pistons tweets over the last few years would have come from Tina. I don't know who does it now, but it's not her anymore.
Yeah, there's
also I don't know if she was the one that was directly tweeting, or if she was just
she
sort
was
of
at times. Yeah, she was at times.
Ops manager of that. Okay, James, this question comes to us from Joey.
Hello, Joey.
Subject line: why isn't Jalen Duren a quote-unquote wrong era center? Body of the email. I love watching Duren. He's already one of my favorites on the team, and I'd be excited for him to start. I see his gifts and his immediate impact on the team. But what's stopping him from being one of those, again, quote-unquote, wrong-era centers? A defensive-minded rebound specialist without much shooting ability. I know he's been practicing his turnaround mid-rangers, and probably for that exact reason. I've also seen some interior passing ability. What do you think? Is it even a big deal if he winds up in that role?
No, not at all. I mean, Jared Allen is traditional wrong era big, quote unquote, they would say. But if Jalen Duren turns into Jared Allen, I think people are excited. Like, as we learned in the Pistons, they blew a game against the Cavs. It was clear that Jared Allen might not be the best player. He's the most important player because they popped the Pistons by 30. A couple weeks ago with Mitchell and Garland out, but Allen and Mobley played. This time around, Garland and Mitchell played, but Allen and Love didn't, and you can tell just as important. So I see Duren working on his shot a lot in practice. Him and Isaiah Stewart shoot threes together, and he hits a decent amount of them. I wouldn't be surprised way down the line if they give him that leash just pace to spread the floor. But I think for him, the goal is to be a rim-protecting, rim-running big who is able to flash passing, and maybe they run some stuff through him as a hub eventually with more experience because of his passing. But, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's good to have an elite rim running, rim protecting center in today's league. I don't think that means wrong era. It's just not the topic of conversation in the NBA anymore.
Well, so it's in the same regard where like watching the Eagles Packers Sunday night game yesterday, right? You watch a guy like Jalen Hurts and you hear them talking about how the quarterback play in the NFL is transitioning to what it has been in college for the last few years, where you need to be this hyper athletic quarterback who can extend a play, can, you know, run the ball 7 yards if you need to pick up the first. It's kind of the same way that we've been looking at the big man position over the last few years as it's evolved over the last decade. Need to be a little bit more athletic. You know, can you dribble the ball a little bit?
Can we switch? Can you hit from three? Defense?
Right. And then the question is, well, I think you only need that if your center is your guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Embiid. Where like,
yeah. You can have Rashawn Holmes, though. You'll be totally fine.
Yeah.
Have Rashawn Holmes. That's great. If you know, Brooke Lopez, I think, is a good example. A dude who can kind of defend in the drop, you know.
Clint Capella.
Pick and pop. Yeah, Clint Capella. There you go. So I think it's contingent on where in the pecking order the center in question is. So for a guy like Jalen Duren, I don't think it matters.
Yeah, and he's coming into a situation where it's clear that there's – unlike Andre, where there was a time when it was like, okay, Andre's like one of the two guys. Duren's
– And the other guy was fucking Greg Monroe. Sorry, freaking Greg Monroe.
Or Reggie Jackson or – yeah. So – or Brandon Jennings. So it's like
– Yeah. Well, hey,
or
hey,
Josh
hey,
Smith. Well, no, I'm just saying, like, it's the
back
pecking order is not as clear.
Yeah.
It's like he's coming to a situation where there's Cade, Ivy, yeah. Bogdan. Like, it's going to be – like, he's learning the things he needs to learn offensively to do what his physical skill set allows him to do at its peak. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I think there's nothing wrong if Jalen Duren turns into Jared Allen. I actually think that's a great thing.
Best braids on the team, too. From Lee.
Speaking of braids, Livers got braided up Monday morning, so it looks like he'll play. I know you're a hair guy. He looks like he'll play in the braids on Tuesday.
That's huge. Yeah. That's huge.
He hasn't played a regular season game in the braids this year.
If you can get a parlay on Livers scoring 15 and the Pistons winning, hammer it. At $50 on it. That's the BNC guarantee this week. I swear to God. Okay.
That's the bun guarantee.
Sorry, that's the buzz guarantee. From Lee, who has been the Pistons' second best player this year after Cade? So he's saying Cade's number one. While Bogdanović has been great offensively, his defense has not been great. Stewart, before his injury, has been a plus on offense and on defense. So our guy Lee here, go on Isaiah Stewart. Do you agree he was the Pistons' second best player until injured? So is Isaiah Stewart number two? If not, who is?
I think it's
Isaiah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think it was Isaiah, if you're factoring in everything. Best, not necessarily most important, because that team needed the bogey buckets. And also, everybody's going to tell me I'm biased because all the Isaiah Stewart propaganda throughout the years. But, like, yeah, he was their best defender. He was on a heater from three before he got hurt. He was getting to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if you're factoring in both sides of the ball before he was hurt, yeah, him. And then bogey. Scoring's most important.
Right. See, that's what I was going to say, is I think even for as bad as it wasn't even atrocious, but for as bad as Bogdanović has been, quote unquote, on defense, he was 50 times better on offense. And that tilts the scale. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That tilts it in such a way where you're so much better on offense than you are on defense that I think it almost makes up for it. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's like, world be free. I'll give you 100 points, but I'll score 101.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're crazy for saying that. I'm still going to go with Bogdanović,
though.
That's
fine. It's one of those two.
A month ago, we're sitting here like, is he the best player on the team? I'm not bumping him down to third. You know what I mean? Can't do it.
And I'm not even sure. Okay. While I think Cade is the best player, I'm not sure that he showed he was the best player before he went down.
He wasn't even that great on defense. Okay, I love this question that we're about to read. This is a great point, okay? Hadn't thought about this, hadn't noticed this. From Zach. Hey, guys, one thing I noticed when I watched this team play is
that
they
don't... Actually, let me take that back. Cade was in his bag at the end. Go ahead. Sorry. Cade was the best player. Go ahead.
Didn't he only have, like, 5 points in his last game?
Yeah, but might have been a flare-up.
I don't know why I'm doing this. I love Cade. He's literally the best player on the team. He's the best player in the world. Okay, from Zach. Hey, guys, one thing I noticed when I watched this team play is that they don't do a lot of gloating or flexing when they make big shots. No rocking the baby or putting the other team to bed or even ice in the veins. probably in part because they're not doing a lot of winning. But do you guys think this is part of an intentional going to work blue collar culture the organization is trying to instill? Cheers.
I think there's a couple things to that. There is some, like, Ivy does ice in the veins. Killian's been doing it lately since he's been making them. Sadiq has the favorite one, and one. He pounds the he actually did it last night.
Kate has that yell that, like, where Kate he looks yells. Down and he flexes. Yeah.
Stu
and
flexes. I try, remember.
Yep. Yeah. Ivy just kind of gets mad. I don't know.
He does the ice in the veins and he'll do a look. Yeah.
I kind of get what he's saying, though. He's right for the most part. We're not really.
No, 100%. No. I agree. And I think that goes back to the people versus the person. Like, I think it's just, they're all kind of quiet guys. Like, they're not all, I wouldn't say quiet, but they're all, that's just not their personality. Like, it just goes down to their personality.
Got to get a bad guy on the team. Is Victor Wembanyama a bad guy? I hope he's like a villain.
I don't think so. So that way we can.
Okay, yeah, that's okay. I can get on board with that. If Scoot Henderson is a villain, then I want him on my basketball team, and I want to pick second. Cool. Okay, next question.
Good question, though. I agree that for the most part, it's not a, and I do think it has a lot to do with them not winning. But yeah, they don't talk a lot of shit.
So just entertain this one, okay? Just let this question happen. Don't do like a, well, we would never do that, okay? Just participate in the question, all right? Okay. Just saying this beforehand. Let's say Troy Weaver, this is from Lindsay. They ask, let's say Troy Weaver has a gun to both of your heads.
Female
saying Sadiq,
listener, I wonder?
Potentially.
Lindsay,
Lindsay is, no.
So Lindsay Hunter?
I'm reading the email. It's not Lindsay Hunter.
All right, go ahead.
Like reading the email handle. I can see the middle name. It's not. Let's say Troy Weaver has a gun to both of your heads, saying Sadiq must be traded today. He also has Danny Ainge and Sam Presti on the phone, Joe Dumars style. Which deal are you taking? Sadiq Bey to Utah for Jared Vanderbilt, or Sadiq Bey to Oklahoma City for Poku?
I have to pick one.
Have to pick one. See, this is why I prefaced it with you got to play along. Just do the Poku thing. Just do it. People like Jared Vanderbilt, though.
No, they do.
He seems like a guy Pistons fans would love, but
I think he fills a hole that they have in terms of, like, long defensive-ish wing.
And let me tell you something. If Pistons fans are mad about the Bol Bol thing getting nixed and not falling through, I say getting nixed. I think it was pretty valid why it didn't go through. Which, by the way, I've been meaning to say this for a few weeks.
Shout
makes
to
Troy
Rodney
Weaver
Magruder
look
tip dunk too last night.
Yep, shout out to Rodney Magruder. Shout out to Troy Weaver because that trade looks five head galaxy brain in retrospect.
That he even had Bol Bol that he thing. Even wanted that he even saw it.
Yeah, that he saw that in Bol Bol, and now he's like, we already have Victor Wembanyama in the league, and we don't need him anymore.
I like how you flipped that.
It's insane.
That. Yeah, I like how you flipped that.
So, because Pistons fans wanted Bol Bol, shouldn't they also want Poku? It's the same guy. It's the same guy, just worse. Well, I don't
Poku's
know. He's kind of looked like an NBA player
Poku's
this year.
Poku's done, like, NBA player stuff this year. Listen, Vanderbilt's a better player.
Yeah.
And he fills a need for the Pistons. I believe in Poku. Like, I'm not ever going to say Poku's going to be an all-star. I'm not that crazy. But, like, I think there's a world where, like, we're, like Poku's a bucket. I like Poku. But I would probably say Vanderbilt.
Hey, we talk about the element and the mystery of the unknown a lot on this show, and that's kind of still what you get with Poku is like, is this like how we said this year? We're like, wait. So you're okay.
How is
but
this
next
gonna
year,
go?
Who knows?
Yeah, it's like, how is this gonna go? How is this gonna end?
Right. Okay. See, that was another good question. I love that one. Fun that little mental exercise there. This one from Daryl. I also love this one. I flagged this one. I like gold starred it because I was like, I love this question. Because he brings up an interesting point from Daryl. The Pistons' average age is 25 years old. Some of the best teams in the league have an average of 25 to 26. Denver, New Orleans, Golden State, and Atlanta. 25 to 26 average age. How long does the quote-unquote young team excuse apply? I love KC, but at some point it's about wins and losses. At what point does the lack of talent issue become a need-a-new-voice issue? Ooh, Daryl.
All right, so I understand what he's saying, but I think it's a little skewed. And especially now because of the injury. So, yeah, their average age – grab it. Let's grab a calculator really quick. Do you have one handy?
I can get one offhand, yeah. Give me just a
how
a
many
second.
Of their – if everybody's healthy, right, yeah, how I many of their older players are regularly in the rotation? So that changes things. Yeah, like, yeah, they're 25, but all right.
Yeah.
So let's add up the age of the players who are in the rotation. All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So 23, Marvin Bagley.
23 plus.
23, Sadiq Bey.
23 plus.
Bojan, 33.
33 plus.
Burks, 31.
The number one Pistons podcast in America, everybody.
Cunningham, 21.
21.
Diallo, 24. Durin, 19. Hayes, 21.
21. You guys can skip ahead. It's okay.
Ivy, 20.
We'll be doing this for a minute.
Did you get Ivy?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, so Corey, we would agree, is probably not in the rotation if everybody's healthy.
That's not true.
He wasn't until everybody got hurt.
He was playing at the beginning of the year, him and Killian.
No.
That was the second unit.
Yeah, and then he got benched shortly before everything.
Okay, is that all the players? Who
no,
else do we
not
need?
Not even close.
Okay.
So we'll leave him out because that's 31 years of... And he's been playing well lately, don't get me wrong, but he... You know what I mean. Kevin Knox, 23.
23.
Livers, 24. Magruder and Nerlens are not in the rotation. That's 31 and 28. Don't add those.
I'm not adding those.
And then Isaiah Stewart, 21. Okay?
Yeah.
So do...
Divided by what,
1,
like
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Divided by 11.
12.
Oh, I also messed it up, and it says 263.9. I was worried about this happening, where we spend 5 minutes doing math, and then I input something
wrong. No, we're doing
it
again. We're doing it again.
Well, we'll do it off the show, and you can tweet it tomorrow.
No, we're doing it now. Do it again. You ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, skip ahead 5 minutes. I'm sure we're going to be talking about something.
No, people
want
to know this answer. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
100%.
23. 23
plus.
Plus
23.
23 plus.
33.
33 plus.
31.
31 plus.
21.
21.
24.
Plus 24.
19.
Plus 19.
21.
Plus 21.
20.
Plus 20.
23.
Okay.
24.
How many guys are on this team?
21.
Plus 21. Okay, then we're going to do equals 283 divided by.
Hold on, let me make sure. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And I didn't include the two-way guys.
So it's 283 divided by 12. It is 23 and a half. So we lose a year and a half.
Yes.
So we are now, hopefully, Daryl, that gives some clarity as to why we stink. Because technically, we're actually a year and a half younger. You see how James, that is a front office trained spin right there.
No,
by
it's
James
not.
Larry Edwards III The Athletic.
No.
I love it.
Now I'm pulling up now the NBA youngest teams by age.
Yeah, okay.
And
well, I'm just curious, is the overarching point here that the Pistons are actually younger than what that figure would suggest? Because you're right.
Yeah,
technically,
yeah.
You're right. Yeah, you're 100%
right. Because you're Magruder and Nerlens are factored into that, but they don't play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Corey started the year and then he didn't play. So I don't think he's in the rotation if everybody's healthy, if Cade's back and everything. So that's.
I tell you what, if I'm a Heat fan, I'm looking at Udonis Haslem like, bro, you're killing this metric. You're killing this for us. You're 47 years old, get off the team. I still don't know. If Nekias Duncan is right about anything, which he's, to be fair, usually right about everything. The Udonis thing should have ended 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, he should just have a coaching job. But
I just don't get it. Go
so
ahead.
I also didn't factor in Buddy and Braxton. They don't play. That's 23 and 25.
Don't have to.
So what was the number it came out to?
23 and a half.
That would put them as the second youngest team in the NBA. OKC is 23.14. Houston is 23.58.
And here's the thing about OKC is you don't need to do the mental gymnastics that we just did.
No, exactly. And it's not even mental gymnastics.
That's just that roster.
It's like, yes, I understand what he's saying. In totality, they're 25, but those guys don't play. Most of the minutes go to the young guys. So I understand his frustration for sure. I would also argue, and I think these last 2 weeks show it, and maybe people will disagree with me. I don't think Dwayne is the reason that this team wasn't competitive for the first 2 weeks, because what happened, young players were gone, more veterans were able to play. and they've
been also played some of the best teams in the league.
Yeah,
immediately,
and they haven't lost by double digits. They've won two games back to back on the road. I think this like shows that like the young guys just take a little bit to play team winning basketball.
And that Lakers loss is still bothering me. You're up by 14 in that game. I have no business losing. The fourth quarter of the Cavs game doesn't feel great. I don't love scoring 16 points as a professional basketball team in a quarter. I don't love it.
Yeah, and there was just some really boneheaded plays. I mean, again, if they only miss 8 free throws or only miss 6 free throws instead of 12 and Durin makes a dunk, they win the game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, this one's kind of long-winded. But it's a break from the action, and it's something that I'm going to give you the floor here, because people always ask these questions, whether it's on Reddit, on Twitter, no matter where it is. People ask these questions all the time, and I think it's always really good that you re-up your recommendations. So we're going to do that really quick. Bit of a long-winded one here from Steven. Okay. Hi, Nick and James. Firstly, love the pod. As someone who didn't even watch basketball 3 years ago, I cannot believe I am this obsessed with a team, and you guys are a massive reason for that. So thanks. Keep it up. You hear that, James? Keep it up.
Thank you so much for that.
I need your help. Myself and my friend, who is a Pelicans fan, are coming over from the UK to Detroit in January for the Pistons versus Pels game, our first NBA game.
That's cool.
We're then flying into Toronto, driving to... Wait, I'm sorry. Sorry, we're flying into Toronto, driving to Detroit, and then on to Cleveland and Buffalo. Should get to 4 NBA games in 6 days, and then we're back home. This sounds like an awesome journey.
That's cool.
So, my question is there anything you'd recommend doing while we're there? Good spots to eat, best areas for a drink, anything to avoid. Also, best value for money seats in LCA would be appreciated. I know very little about Detroit as a city, and I always think asking natives is better than Google. I know this isn't Pistons based, so feel free to ignore, but I know you mentioned on the pod you like answering different questions rather than who are we drafting and will we trade Sadiq. Well, unfortunately, we did tackle the Sadiq thing today because of me. Well, it was timely, though. It actually made sense. Yeah. Okay, keep up the great work. Hopefully see you at a game. James, not Nick. didn't say he hopes to see me again.
Well,
thanks, Steven.
He knows you're not around.
Yeah, I'm goofing around. Okay, so the question here, rehash your recommendations for the city of Detroit. Since, hey, matter of fact, he said he's going to be in Cleveland, he's going to be in Toronto, you know,
should
any
I
of
give
these
him
places.
Some spots? All right.
Sweetwater.
So I don't know necessarily what you're into, so this is a little bit harder. But in terms of cool places, I would if you drink, and I'm not talking about like get drunk. If you like to have a drink, I would recommend the Shelby, which is a secret bar. There's a coffee shop called Down Under downtown, and there's a secret bar in the back of the coffee shop. It's an old bank vault. So you make a reservation, or if it's not busy during the day, you just go to the barista at the front of the coffee shop and be like, "Hey, we'd like to go to the bar." They'll take you in there. They'll tell you to close the door behind you, and it's like a cool lounge with. Like Sade's playing, it's dark, it's a bank vault, it's sick. So the Shelby is my I like hanging out there. If you're into clubbing, I would recommend Deluxe Flux, just like a kind of cool, it's the place. If I'm sure you've seen people take Instagram photos there with like the flyers, and it's like translucent colors, like I'm sure you've seen people take, like, it's the ultimate Detroit Instagram shot. It's a bar. It's pretty cool. If you're into clubbing, if you're into food, Greektown, the Golden Goat, I believe it's called, in Greektown is good, Middle Eastern. My favorite pizza in Detroit is Como's in Ferndale, which is right outside of Detroit. It would be like a 15-minute Lyft ride. What else do I... If you never had Coney dogs, I would recommend American or Lafayette.
Do Lafayette. American is technically better. The vibes are way better in Lafayette, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to try a Coney dog, I would do that.
Just do both. Just do one at each. Right across the street. Well, not even right across the street. They're just right next door to each other.
Yeah, I would recommend going to Eastern Market. And just, like, it's going to be cold in January, but walking around, there's some cool spots there. If you're into sneakers, check out 218 in Eastern Market. If you're into vintage clothing and sneakers, check out my guys Vintage Vault and Clausen. There's some good.
I don't know if
good food in Mexican town.
Punchbowl Social still
it's
open?
Not open anymore.
What?
It's like a Lions tailgate place now. Yeah, closed during COVID.
What? It's still open here. That's insane. Yeah, that place. That would have been my rec.
You're such a simp. Are you going to recommend you go to KFC too or Taco Bell?
What's wrong with Punch Bowl Social?
I'm just joking. It's a chain, but yeah.
Was jumping in there. Oh, no, I got a story
I've had
about
fun
it.
In there. I've had fun in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you what, so it, check this out guy's email. Spots. He said he's coming from the UK, but he didn't say where. I would say he's too polite in the email, so I don't think he's Welsh. Because if he was Welsh, I think it would have been a lot. It would have been a lot shorter of an email. So I'm going to say I think this guy actually might be English. I don't think he's Irish.
Hopefully he's a Spurs fan, Tottenham.
I don't think Scottish. Basketball
oh, you said
fans exist. No. I'm saying because Scotland's in the UK. Yeah. So I'm saying I don't think Scottish basketball fans exist. This guy has to be English.
My guess is English, yeah, but I feel like he would have said England.
You know what's interesting about the UK? Because if you're from it, well, they, well, unless you're from, well, I don't want to get into that. I'm going to make a Northern Ireland joke, but it's weird because if you're from America, you're like, I'm from Michigan. But if you're from the UK, you just say the UK. It's like, but yeah, where though?
Yeah, we got to know.
You know what I mean? Okay, yeah, there we go.
Hopefully
alrighty,
that helped.
Steven, Derry Rex, have fun on your trip, dude.
That's awesome. Hopefully run into you.
Okay, we also got an email saying that I should root for the men's team in the World Cup. I will say I am. Shout out to us for drawing against
they look
England.
Good.
That was
they look good
super
against,
hype.
They should have won that.
Super fun.
Big game today as you're listening to this against Iran.
Against Iran, yeah, which I should be. That's free, right? That's free.
Our team's young, and they beat. They got a 2-0 win. Yeah, I mean, we just got to see some goals go in. I don't know. We should win. We should win, but it's not a guarantee.
So we got an email a week ago, the day that the last pod released. He said, feel free to share this PSA on the pod. This is interesting. Just want to throw this out there. James, as two people who are not licensed medical professionals, we do spend a lot of time speculating about medical decisions on this show, as one does.
Who does?
When you're, we does.
We do? We speculate
I don't know.
About
Maybe
medical
we do.
Decisions?
I mean, it's always fun.
Or do I couch it as me saying I think when I know?
I'm just goofing around here regardless.
Oh, I thought the email said this.
No.
Oh,
no,
I thought he was saying,
no,
okay, I'm sorry.
I apologize.
The guy in the email
I can see how that would have been confusing. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was making a joke about how I think it's funny that dudes in their 20s and 30s, if they have a podcast, will give a bunch of medical advice while not having any medical background. So I was just making
for
a
sure.
joke about it. But this guy is a medical professional. Okay.
Cool.
Hey, guys. Love the show. From William. I just finished listening to your latest episode. I got to say this about the Cade injury. I am a nationally certified and state licensed athletic trainer. So you could say you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Remember when Kevin Ware from Louisville had his tibia pop out of his skin? Yeah.
Yep.
Broke his
still
leg.
Haven't watched
we all remember
this day.
It. I've seen it like 100 times. He had a finial stress fracture. Stress fracture that wasn't properly managed. Just a couple Saturdays ago, an Indiana State wide receiver landed from a jump and his tibia broke through his skin and he was rushed to an emergency room for emergency surgery. He had a tibial stress fracture that wasn't properly managed. So, yeah, it is 100% the right move to shut Cade down or for him to have surgery. He is our franchise player and he's 21 years old. I work in an orthopedic clinic and we shut down athletes for a minimum of 1 month if they have anything even closely resembling a tibial stress fracture. I am so tired of seeing dumbasses on Twitter saying, quote unquote, it's only shin pain or quote unquote, it's just a stress fracture. Feel free to share this PSA on the pod, Will. So
thank you, Will, for the medical information, assuming I believe that you are an actual medical doctor.
It would be a weird thing to lie about over an email on a podcast that isn't that consequential.
Yeah.
But I will say it's funny because around the same time a week ago, people were getting mad at other people for suggesting that this had anything to do with Cade's diet. And I agree that it would be weird to be like, because he's a vegan, that means his bones like aren't good. But that was a real stance that people were taking like a week ago. And then I saw somebody be like, well, didn't Nick mention this on the BNC? No. I made a joke because Cade wasn't scoring early in the season that maybe he needs to eat a hamburger or something to get a little bit more energy. It had nothing to do with the fact that he was injured. I was making a goof.
Yeah.
So I just want to clear that up real quick.
I didn't see people saying that. But I have seen, and that's part of the reason why I wrote the story last week where I talked to a medical doctor about why Cade is weighing rest for surgery. Like, because I have seen people say, like, it's just a stress fracture. It's just this. It's like, no, it's just not that. And it could linger and he could miss time every year. If it doesn't heal with rest, which isn't guaranteed. So, listen, the Pistons understand Cade is a franchise player. They've recommended that he get surgery, but they're not going to – you can't force somebody to do something. He's got to be comfortable with the decision. He's been doing research. He's been talking to players who have had similar injuries. he's doing his homework, and I couldn't find anything that he's ever underwent surgery. There could be fear of that. Like, I underwent surgery. That shit was scary. I was asleep. They gave me amnesia. Fam, I was out in 30 seconds for like, and then I woke up and I was back in the same spot, but they had been working on my shoulder for 4 hours. Like, I understand. That shit's scary.
This might be a dumb question. I don't know how this works. I've never had surgery. I've never had a major medical procedure ever.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're planning to get surgery, I'm assuming you have to plan it decently in advance, you know, get some checkups beforehand, make sure they have a bunch of information. You don't just go to the doctor and say, they say, hey, we got to do surgery on this thing tomorrow. That's not how it works, right?
No.
So do you think when you're a professional athlete that there's like an express lane? Like, oh, you smoked your knee. You need to repair a bunch of tendons and ligaments.
Well, they have team physicians and doctors. Yeah, those are the people that do it. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not doing surgery. The team doctors aren't doing surgery.
No, like the doctors that you see run out on the floor when somebody has a bloody nose, but like there's doctors that aren't behind the bench that are like doctors. There are team medical doctors.
Right. That do surgeries. But like,
they have a team surgeon.
The Pistons have a team surgeon?
Yes.
Do people know this? Do I sound weird right now?
I don't know if people know that, but I think they would assume. It's not like, with all due respect, yeah, they're not walking into Hurley Hospital and having Kate Cunningham get no. There's.
I thought they would just like send him to U of M and some highly touted surgeon, like Dr. Strange or something.
I don't
just
know
like
if
fixes
every
up his
team
knee.
Has a team physician, but like the Pistons do.
So they have a guy who is – the Pistons have a designated guy on the payroll who just does surgeries as his job. What does he do?
I mean, he'll do, like, surgeries for other athletes too, like, that aren't associated with the Pistons, like, through recommendation. But, like, if somebody on the Pistons needs surgery, I'm pretty sure that guy or gal does the surgery, yes.
Do you know who it is? Oh,
yes,
you don't know who it is. You said
I do
guy.
Know who it is.
Oh, can we have them on the show?
I don't know if I can even, like – they're so, like – low-key, I don't know if I can, like, blow up their spot. Very nice person, though. I've interacted
blow up their
with
spot. What is this, some fucking Illuminati secret circle
like,
of surgeons?
I don't know. He or she is a physician. Like, I don't know if they want... I don't know. I'm just being
so
safe.
So you know who they are, yes. But you don't know their... Okay, all right.
I know their identity. I'll just move on. I know who they are. I know their name.
Something's going on
them.
Here. There's some funny business going here. I'll just move on. I'll get off of this for you. I can see the red laser getting trained.
There's
on
no
forehead.
Funny business. I just don't... That's like the Pistons also have like a team psychologist, but like,
oh, that makes sense though.
Yeah, but like they can't talk about shit, so like I'm not gonna like put their name out there. Like it's such personal information. Like I don't know. They play behind the scenes.
I guess there's there would be a difference, but I can see why getting information. I'm not trying to get like information out
no,
of a surgeon.
I'm not saying
I just think
you
it's
are.
A really interesting.
Yeah,
job.
I just don't know if yeah. I just don't know if how known it is. I just would rather be safe than sorry.
Well, when you're doing an interview, I was thinking about this. I had a story idea for you. I'll say it off the pod because I don't want to get people excited.
No.
But when you're interviewing Okay. Trust me, it's better if I just say it off the show. And if you like it, then we'll bring it up next week because it might be a good idea. But anyways, when you're interviewing a doctor for a story, are you putting out feelers on Twitter being like, hey, who's a doctor? I need a quick soundbite for a story. How do you find a doctor?
Well, I have the person I used... shout out to Deepak. It was somebody I went to high school with just finished up at Stanford Medical School, and he knew the guy who ended up like doing like just becoming a sports doctor. And the gentleman I used him a while ago, but now he's since done other stuff for reporters at The Athletic. He's worked for ESPN, like not worked for, but he's done. Been sourced in stories for ESPN, Bleacher Report, us. So it's I met him through a mutual friend.
Gotcha. Do you have like a primary care provider? Like, do you have a guy who's like, yeah, that's my doctor. That's my doctor.
Yeah, I have a doctor.
That's wild to me. I've been as a 24-year-old, I'm so disillusioned by several things. One of them being like the medical process. Like, I had health insurance by myself as an adult for 1 month. 1 month I had it. And I didn't get to see a doctor, didn't get to see a therapist, didn't get to see anything. So I don't have a doctor. If I need to go to the doctor, I go to an urgent care. I'm disillusioned by the education system with college and student loans and everything. I don't know how any of that works. Don't get it at all.
That one
and
I'm
then
jealous of, actually.
I am pretty lucky about that. The third major American thing that I'm disillusioned by is the housing market. I believe firmly... As a 24-year-old, I will never own a home in my life.
you're just like, you think it's like insurmountable.
I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
I'm still like, just I'm like still a guy, there. I feel like I could go get a house now, but like, I don't know how the process works.
It's tough, man. It's weird. Cause I've been with some friends when they, you know, are viewing houses and stuff like that. And it's really fun, you know, being with a realtor and, you know, looking around a house. It's really fun. But then you're like, what's the down payment? Like, what is the, how long do I have to be doing this? And then it's wild, man. And it's weird because even places like Howell now, where like 10 years ago, go buy a house in Howell. You'll be fine. Dude, you can't even do that anymore.
Who will be fine?
Well, I mean, financially, will be fine. Yeah, you'll be fine financially if you're living in Howell. But you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Like even a place like that, like if they get Fowlerville, I don't know where people are supposed to go.
Yeah.
If they run up the budget in Fowlerville, I don't know what's supposed to happen. Okay,
shout
little
lighthearted
question from, no.
I covered
from Jacob
when I was a high school reporter. Go ahead.
Did you really? From Jacob. I'll skip to the end of this one. A little bit more long-winded. I've read the email twice over, Jacob. Thank you
very
much.
Is this our last one?
I could do, I think, like two more.
Okay.
Very simple. Lumal Nadies or Buddies? Chicago versus Detroit.
Buddies is overrated, but I've never had the place that you said in Chicago.
It's just such a garbage. I've just always hated that take.
Well, it's fine. Buddies is overrated because it tastes like Chicago pizza. Just don't put the pasta on top of the cheese and pepperoni.
I'm getting frustrated. James, why don't you... I'm trying to find this last question that I really liked. So while I'm trying to find it, why don't you go over the sneakers that you got in Los Angeles? Or not in Los Angeles, but on the West Coast trip.
They were all in Los Angeles, unfortunately. so for...
Ooh, we got an email really quick.
Yeah.
An email in real time. This just came through.
Oh, sweet.
Question for the mailbag from Tom. Who is overperforming most versus expectations so far on the roster? You could make a case for four or five guys. He did not name the four or five guys, but he said that four or five guys, there could be a case that they're overperforming their expectations.
It's a good question. A week or two into the season, I would have said Ivy.
Yep.
He's come.
He's come back down to earth a little bit, but yeah. I've been nothing but impressed by him.
I didn't expect a ton from Duren just because he was so young. He's been impressive. He has his moments again.
But because he's a new player and I'm a fan, I expected him to be amazing. Yeah, I was just expected him to just, you know what I mean? So
you're the people in my mentions, yeah.
Right, right.
Killian, I don't know if many people, like, I legitimately, when Killian has his feet set and he's shooting a three, I'm like thinking it's going in. That has never been the case. So
yep.
I think that's a big thing. Am I missing anybody? I knew Alec Burks was a bucket. But I didn't know he was a bucket. Like, I've watched Alec Burks for years. But, like, when you see it in person, the way he draws fouls, the smoothness he plays with.
Like, a lot of vet moves.
Burks is a fun watch. Am I missing? I mean, you could say Knox.
Stop.
Based on the last 2 weeks.
No. He had two and a half good games.
I'd say three, but all right. That's fair.
Okay. I'm sorry. He had three good games. We've played like 25.
I didn't think he would even play.
What are we doing right now? I agree. And he has played, and he played three and a half good games.
You're right.
And, I'll apologize to him for like the last week that he's played.
I was just trying to think of who his four or five would have been. I feel like I hit the nail on the head.
Killian?
Yeah, I think Killian has shot the ball in both the mid-range and the three. I mean, he has shot it better. Like, there's no question.
But technically, this is just like what we have been expecting the whole time. He's just finally doing it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's what you've been hoping for. It just hadn't happened. And then you kind of get through it, and you're like, is it ever going to happen? And then it happens. He still needs to, like, improve as a finisher at the rim. But, like, his jump shots are going in when his feet are set or in the mid-range.
Cool. I have this last question. Do you want to do this first or the shoes? Probably best to just
finish. The shoes aren't all that. And we don't even have to talk about the shoes. Let's do the last question.
Okay, let's do the last question. I'll speed ahead a little bit. We got a kind of longer one from our guy Hannon here. But I'll skip to the end here. I've been listening to you guys for over a year while working on renovating an historic building downtown in downtown Detroit that will be a bar in a year or so.
Oh, sick.
I can't wait to get an invite to that grand opening.
Free drinks.
Bun and Cardigan Live. Yeah. There we go.
Can we do the opening? Bun and Cardigan Live from... this bar?
From wherever this bar is.
Yeah.
Hannon will have to send a follow-up to us.
Yeah.
It'd be weird to commit to this
in advance. We're inviting ourselves
to
free drinks and doing opening night podcast for him.
And if it's not free drinks, we at least get like 2 free drink tokens or something.
Yeah.
Give me, you know, we give us something. Give us a little something to wet the beak.
Right? Yeah, or we just gave free promo.
Yeah. And we get, and then, yeah, that's true, because then we'd fill up the bar.
Yeah,
like, we could fill up a bar in downtown Detroit. We could do that in downtown Detroit. Yeah, we don't need to invite ourselves, but
yeah, we do. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Anyways, we're joking, by the way. But hit us up.
We're kind of joking, but send an email and maybe we won't be joking. I was also listening to you while I was out west training my body at an altitude, trying to get big like Bay.
Big like Bay.
Does any normal person, like, if this guy just sounds like a guy who just does construction, which is great. Well, I don't know. You kind of need to be in shape for that. So maybe this guy needs that. Because if you're like me and you're just a guy, don't go to the mountains to train. You know, what are you training for?
Yeah.
This guy sounds like he might need it, though, so I'm not going to crap on it. Okay, in any case, as I work on the bar space, my question to you both. With the biggest bar night of the year approaching, what would you say is the most slept on / underrated bar / venue in the city? The place that you like to frequent that isn't too busy or too uppity, but always has the right vibe. Right vibe. I've lived in and around the city for years now, and I have some thoughts on the matter, but curious to hear your response. James,
yeah,
I will have to answer for Chicago.
All right, go ahead.
I won't be able to do Detroit.
Go ahead.
For Chicago's sake, Tin Lizzy is great.
I've been there.
Tin Lizzy is awesome. If you live in Chicago, especially if you're on the north side and you're a Pistons fan who listens to this podcast, there's no chance you don't know what that bar is. It's a Detroit sports bar. It's great. They have a bunch of great little games in there. You're 6 beers deep and you're playing ring toss. It's fantastic. Does get a little rowdy, though. So if you catch it on like a Thursday afternoon, it's a lot better than it would be on like a Saturday afternoon when it gets all like fratty and gross. Right across the street from there, there's a place called Gaslight. I like that. I also don't drink that much, so like my bar knowledge isn't great. Like, you know, then there's places downtown on what division, like the lodge is awesome. Kind of helps to be a regular there, though, because if you're not, then the vibes are a little bit weird. But it's great, man. I mean, it's also Chicago, so like everybody's just nice everywhere, got the Midwest vibes. Tin Lizzy's probably my favorite, though. Yeah, what do you think, James?
I've been there. I like that. Yeah, I did. Sorry. I was reading the thing. So I mentioned the Shelby earlier, which is like the secret bar, speakeasy inside. It's a little uppity. They try to make it uppity, but the vibes are cool. I don't know if it's like, if you like smoothed out R&B and stuff, it's a good spot. Delmar.
It's like that place in Los Angeles. You dragged me with all the records. You went there with Omari again, didn't you?
Twice.
Yeah.
Shout out to Goldline. Yeah, I love Goldline.
Did you get that pizza?
No, we did. I wasn't able to. Not even a long story. I just wasn't able to.
Worked my ass off.
You did.
Getting you that address.
You did. I thought about it, and when I was hungry, I was like, I don't really feel like getting in another lift to go over there. The Shelby Del Mar is a good sports bar, specifically in the summers. I don't drink a lot either. Where else do I go?
You just drink at home.
Oh, Cobb's in Midtown.
Hmm.
I like Cobb's. Queen's Bar. It's kind of the pretty people who know these spots know these spots. Maybe except the Shelby.
You drink on a plane? You ever got a drink on a plane?
I caught the red eye from Denver to Detroit. I had a flight at 12:58, and I was just like, I wanted to make sure I went to sleep. So I said, and I have first class upgrade, so you get a drink before.
Yeah.
I just said, F it, and I got a Jack and Coke. I've been blitzed for a flight one time. It was summer league, coming back from Vegas. We had a athletic summit where it was like we were basically a party in Vegas. We had a meeting and then a get together party. And I was drunk. I got drunk there, and then I had a red eye flight out. So by the time I got, I fell asleep before everybody boarded, and I didn't wake up till we landed.
So the only time I've ever flown first class was earlier this year, and I did it because I was like, you know what, man? Like, it might not be on that many more flights this year. I was like, I was going back to Los Angeles, and I just did it because it was only like $500 or something. I say only, which is just ridiculous. But like, because of the day of the flight and all the time, I was going to have to spend like $300 anyways. And I was like, this honestly just doesn't seem like that bad of a deal. I was like, I might as well just do it. It wasn't, I don't think it was 500. I think it might've ended up being that when I had to like, do baggage and stuff like that. But anyways, I didn't know about the drink.
Yeah.
And so I sit down and they're like, yeah, do you want like a pre-flight beverage? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. What can I have? And they gave me a bunch of options and she said champagne. And I was like, what word?
Word.
So I finished the champagne. They're still boarding the flight. And she walks over, doesn't say a word, and fills it back up. And I go, I was like, what?
Yeah.
So the whole flight, she's, this woman just pumping me full of champagne. And then she's like, what do you want for food? And I was like, what? Got some chicken risotto. Had no idea. And then at one point I took a nap, woke up. They filled my glass while I was asleep for 5 minutes. But the problem was, because it was a different woman that must have filled it, because the liquid looks the same. Instead of champagne, it was Moscato. So it was just a very different, it was a wild switch up, expecting to drink champagne and you drink Moscato. So I was definitely a little bit drunk for that. I had also probably taken like 50 milligrams or something before that flight. So I was definitely feeling it. I tell you what though, one of the worst mistakes I've ever made on a plane. I've made a few. But when we were flying to All-Star Weekend and we had to do Los Angeles to New Jersey for a layover back to Cleveland, the flight was at like 7 a.m. and I was on a plane for like 9 or 10 hours that day. 7 a.m, I take 100 milligrams.
That's an experience.
And the whole day. And then we landed, by the time we landed in Cleveland, we went to this big fancy dinner. I was like, dude, I'm interviewing Cade at like 7 the next morning. Like, I want to go to bed. I've been zonked out of my mind literally all day. And the Cleveland airport was like really easy to navigate, which was nice. But navigating Newark's airport wasn't very nice. I digress. James. Do you, what's so funny? I don't,
just your
do
stories,
you have any?
Yeah, just your stories. And then they just, you just end them.
They just end. They just end. I don't know. Where was I supposed to, I was super high on a plane. That's it. Alrighty, James, if our folks are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe. If you're feeling generous, if you're listening to this on Spotify, you could also leave 5 stars. We will catch you guys.
Sorry, I got threw off by a work message I got. And now I'm just like,
hey,
frazzled.
Let me ask you something. You and Shams ever talk hoops? Like, does he ever give takes?
No.
We don't. Does he actually not?
I mean, I don't. I mean, my, we don't really. We
like, don't. I would love to know, like, what is he, like, what is he, when he watches a player, is he like, I don't like this guy? Like, we don't like D'Angelo Russell, and it's fine. We just talk about, it's not for us. The experience just isn't for us. Like, who's that for, like, Woj and Shams? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. No, we don't really. I mean, we talk, of course, we talk basketball, but we don't talk, like, this guy's mid-range pull-up. No, we talk about like
right.
reporting.
You're not like, you see that Patrick Williams hammer screen the other night?
Yeah,
that was insane. Exactly. That was insane. Yeah, alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, we will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.